Well, before we go any further, let's do the most important thing and ask God to help us as we continue. Father, we need your help. We ask that you would help us to understand your word, that what we do now with our time would be penetrating to the heart, that your Holy Spirit would guide us. We pray that we would handle your word with care. God, we beg you that you would speak to us. We pray that it would apply to our lives. Your word is living and active, and so we ask that you would speak now. Fill up where my words will lack. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we're looking at the book of Philemon. Philemon. Did you get a chance to read it this week? I hope so. For those that might be new or newer to the church, we have been going one book at a time through the scriptures. So, Lord willing, next week we're going to look at Hebrews. I would encourage all of you, get in the Word ahead of time, study the book, and then you can correct me if I error next week. Philemon. Most likely this book was written during the time that the same imprisonment that Paul was in when he wrote the book of Colossians. There is unanimity. Anybody ever heard that word before? Unanimity in regards to who wrote this book. There's no question about the fact that Paul wrote it. Even the most crazy scholars who don't really take the Word of God as literal believe Paul wrote the book of Philemon. It's one of those bedrock books that Paul wrote it. No question about it. Paul wrote this book. That's going to be significant as we move on here. But Paul wrote the book of Philemon. You say, but I thought Paul wrote all the books that are attributed to him in the Bible. He did. There's just some that challenge others. They don't challenge this one. That's all. This was probably written around the date 60. Isn't that funny the way that sounds? Not 1960, but 60. 60 years after Jesus was born, or 57 years, 58 years after Jesus was born, probably was when Philemon was written. Let's begin reading. Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved fellow worker, and Apphia, our sister, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and the church in your house. Most letters that I write that are very personal are written to one person, right? So what is with these three names here? What's with that? Philemon, Apphia, and Archippus. Tom's got it. They're family. Most likely, Apphia is Philemon's wife, and Archippus is Philemon's what? Good guess. Probably his son. Whatever the case is, these people lived together. And apparently they were significant members in their town because, what? Good morning. Good morning. These individuals were significant Christians, and we know that because they had a church that met in their household. They were probably pretty wealthy. The book itself gives credence to that thought, that these people were wealthy. Verse 3. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. This is just a normal greeting for Paul. Verse 4, I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and the faith that you have toward the Lord Jesus and for all the saints. And I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. For I derived much joy and comfort from your love, my brother, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you. How many of you, if I were to say, let's read this whole book right now, how many of you would sit here and hear the words and wonder when, okay, we're almost to the end, we're almost to the end, we're almost to the end. You ever had that feeling? I've had that feeling. Sitting there, I'm like, okay, they're almost done, they're almost done. But let's read it without that thought, shall we? Verse 8. Put on your thinking caps. Are we there? Accordingly, though I am bold enough in Christ to command you to do what is required, yet for love's sake I prefer to appeal to you. I, Paul, an old man, and now a prisoner also for Christ Jesus, I appeal to you for my child Onesimus, whose father I became in my imprisonment. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful to you and to me. Verse 12. I am sending him back to you, sending my very heart. I would have been glad to keep him with me in order that he might serve me on your behalf during my imprisonment for the gospel, but I preferred to do nothing without your consent in order that your goodness might not be by compulsion, but of your own accord. For this perhaps is why he was parted from you for a while, that you might have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, as a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. So, if you consider me your partner, receive him as you would receive me. If he has wronged you at all, or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, write this with my own hand. I will repay it, to say nothing of your owing me even your own self. Yes, brother. I want some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confidence of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. At the same time, prepare a guest room for me, for I'm hoping that through your prayers I will be graciously given to you. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends greetings to you. And so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. You're Philemon. You have your estate. And the mail comes. And today you happen to get a letter. That's unique. Mail was very valuable back then. And the person, the courier, comes to your house, hands you this letter, and you see the handwriting of someone you know. You know that handwriting. Where do I know that handwriting from? As you open it up, your eyes go to the very beginning, and you can't believe what you're reading, but you're getting, Philemon, you're getting a letter from the Apostle Paul. What does Paul want? It's a fairly short letter, too. He's taken time to write this tiny letter. What in the world? So you take it, and you go, and you sit down next to a light because you have to read it immediately. I mean, there's no question. Philemon opened that thing up right away. And as he reads it, what happened to his heart, do you think, as he started to read this book? What encouragement. Do you see how it starts? I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers. Huh. Wow. But isn't Paul in jail? He's in jail. He's writing me from jail. He hears of my love and my faith toward the Lord. My love for the saints. Absolutely. I would die for Jesus. pause. Let me give you the background, fill in the picture here. Use your imagination. You're Onesimus. You're a bondservant. You're a slave back in the day to Philemon, who was very wealthy. The fact that he was a bondservant or a slave, that does not mean he was a slave as in get out in the field or I'll beat you type of a slave. This was Philemon probably helped Onesimus with some debt or something, and so he was working for Philemon. Or perhaps Onesimus came and said, I want to serve you. If you would give me food and shelter and provide for my family, I will serve you. And they came to an arrangement, and he was a bondservant. He was bonded to Philemon in service. Well, one day, for whatever reason, Onesimus bolts. He leaves. I don't like the situation anymore. He's out. There is apparently some debt that he owes Philemon. There's debt because Paul says, put it on my account. If he owes you anything, give it to me. Philemon was owed something from Onesimus. Not because he was a slave and he left and now he broke the illegal grounds for slavery. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about some kind of a debt. So Onesimus, he defaults and he runs, right? And he is on his own. And he finds himself in a different city. And he's living his life. Well, imagine you're Onesimus. You're not a believer. You know nothing except what your previous employer knew of Jesus. You know that there's something, this guy was sort of radical about Christ and all that, but I'm leaving. So he leaves. But you overheard conversations, and in some of those conversations, there was a name that kept popping up. What name do you think kept coming up in Philemon's household? Perhaps what letters kept getting read in Philemon's household? Something of Christ. And then even more personal of the current day, what name had you heard quite a bit? Paul. Well, Paul said this, and Paul did this. So in your subconscious, you knew of Paul. Apparently, Onesimus eventually decides, you know what, I did the wrong thing. And I'm going to get arrested because I have this debt and this is not a good situation. And everybody knows that the Romans, what? The Romans are just. And I am being illegal right now. I've taken advantage of Philemon. So what am I going to do? I suggest to you, Onesimus was arrested. We're not told that in the book, but I think he was arrested. How do you think he got to know Paul? Paul was in jail. Onesimus finds himself in the same jail where Paul is. Paul? I've heard your name, Paul. Who are you? And it doesn't take long for what to happen with Paul and Onesimus. Man, Paul was like, this guy is in jail. He can't go anywhere. So I'm working on him. He's going to love Jesus. Before I can get out of here, he's going to love Jesus. Sure enough, Onesimus falls in love with Christ. Genuinely. I mean, he has a conversion. And he's discipled by the Apostle Paul. And what is Paul finding out about Onesimus? My goodness, this young man, he can serve the Lord. He has gifts. But we have a problem, don't we? You are so gifted, Onesimus, and you have this debt. You're in breach of the Roman law. I know, Paul. What do I do? I got to go back. I got to go back to Philemon, and I got to go back into a service. And Paul's thinking, no, you can do so much more for the gospel than to be stuck in Philemon's service. And so they discuss things. You go to bed. Onesimus, you go to bed. when you wake up, someone elbows you and says, Paul's been writing a letter. And he's been not dictating it to somebody else. He wrote it with his own hand. What did he write? I don't know, but he has also convinced the Roman centurion to let him go back, to let you go back to your master. And he wants you to bring this letter. So Onesimus has a letter that he has to bring back to Philemon. He's been discipled for I don't know how long by the Apostle Paul. And he has this letter that he has to deliver to Philemon. When you left, you were a wicked man, Onesimus. And you have to go back to your old home. How will they feel about you there, do you think? How will the other servants feel? Those that have other debts, smaller debts, that have been faithful and served, how will they feel towards Onesimus, do you think? He brings this letter. Philemon opens it up. And he's reading it. His heart is warmed. Someone, as he's reading it, shouts, Onesimus is back. You have a choice. You can either continue to read this or go and make sure that he never leaves again. What do you think Philemon did? My goodness, the Apostle Paul wrote me, quiet. I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and the faith that you have towards the Lord Jesus and for all the saints. And I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. For I have derived much joy and comfort from your love, my brother, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you. Wow. To what do I owe this letter? Accordingly, though I am bold enough in Christ to command you to do what is required, yet for love's sake, I prefer to appeal to you. There is a word that has popped up several times already in this book. What book? What word? Love. This book is all about love. Christian love. All right? So if there's one thing that you can take away from this book, it's going to be about love. We're not talking about the worldly love that is so misunderstood today. It is a godly love. So there's some observations we're going to make about love from this book. If you were to ask me why, Other Tony, is this book included in the scriptures, I might shake my head, scratch my head a little bit. Because that's a tough question. Paul wrote other personal letters. Why this one? Why is this one so significant? Well, I think it has to do with the subject matter, and that's love. Love must characterize the relationships that we have with other Christians. Love must characterize the relationships that we have with other Christians. Love characterized all the relationships represented in this book. First thing that we see is Philemon, who does he love? Who does Philemon love? Look at your Bibles. My face doesn't have the answer, your Bible does. Who does Philemon love? He loves the saints and, listen, verse 5, because I hear of your love and of the faith that you have towards the Lord. He loves the Lord. Philemon loves the Lord. And he loves the saints, the fellow Christians. Philemon is a perfect example. Paul starts off by saying, you know how to love. If anybody knew how to love, Philemon, you know how to love. So we see that Philemon understands what love is. Secondly, Paul. According to this book, who does Paul love? The Sunday school answer, of course, is Paul loves Jesus. That's a gimme. Who else does Paul love? Paul loves Onesimus. Listen to what it says. Let's go to verse 12. I'm sending him back to you, sending my very heart. Let me translate that differently. I think a better way to translate that is this. I'm sending him back to you, him who is my own heart. That's what is being said here. I'm sending Onesimus. I'm sending this gentleman back to you. He is my heart. In Greek, there is no closer association that can be made with two objects than what is done in this sentence. Paul equates his heart with Onesimus. It's not, he has my heart. It is, he is my heart. Paul is so loving towards Onesimus that he says, you don't understand, Philemon. Onesimus is my heart. This is the kind of love we're talking about in this book. Onesimus is being sent to you. My very heart is being sent to you. I love him. Boy, if I got to that part of the letter, I would... What happened? This rebel who should be in jail is Paul's heart? Verse 17 further illustrates his love. So if you consider me your partner, receive him as you would receive me. In other words, my heart there. Receive my heart, please. Paul loves Onesimus. Who else does Paul love? He loves Philemon. That seems obvious, but look at verse 9. It says, yet for love's sake, starting in verse 8, accordingly, though I'm bold enough in Christ to command you to do as is required, yet for love's sake, I prefer to appeal to you. Yet for love's sake, I prefer to appeal to you. What does he mean by for love's sake? Love's sake. For love's sake, I'm going to appeal to you, Philemon. You might read that and say, well, because Paul loves who? Onesimus. For love's sake, he's asking Philemon to do these things. For love of Onesimus. But I say that's impossible because he's saying, I'm not going to be rough with you about it. If Paul was just concerned with loving Onesimus, he would have said, receive him. I love him. But no, for love's sake, for who? Philemon. Because I love you, Philemon, I'm going to ask you out of love, not under compulsion. I'm not going to force your hand here because I love you. So Paul, the whole essence of the letter is love towards Philemon. He loves him. If his prayers weren't evidence enough, he just tells him, look, because I love you, I'm asking you in love. Secondly, yes, love should characterize our relationships. Christian love, listen, Christian love is gentle. Christian love is gentle. Do you see how gentle Paul is with Philemon? He starts off graciously. You have been faithful to Jesus Christ. He doesn't start an essay in writing this letter. You know what I mean? The essay starts off, here's my proposition, you need to receive back Onesimus, and here's why. I know you will because you're loving, I know you will because you're faithful. No, it's, he's gentle about it. Do you understand that? He's not tearing the Band-Aid off quickly. He's, hey. Dr. Greg is saying, that is the gracious thing to do. The quicker, the better. No, love is gentle. Love should be the means by which we seek to reconcile differences. Let me say that again. Love should be the means by which we seek to reconcile differences. There's a difference of opinion here. Philemon obviously has a problem with Onesimus. Paul doesn't think he should have a problem any longer. Paul gradually gets to this request. He doesn't even tell him until far after the halfway mark in the letter. Verse 16, finally we get to some meat where you're scratching your head. Philemon, you're scratching your head wondering, what is this all about? And I'm almost getting to the end here. What's he have to say? But oh man, I like this letter. Verse 16, or verse 15, for this perhaps is why he was parted from you for a while, that you might have him back forever. Verse 16, take him back no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, as a beloved brother. The purpose of this letter is to cause Philemon to receive Onesimus back, not as a slave, but as a brother. And it takes him until verse 16 to get to that point. Boy, is that gentle. It's tender. We don't even know that Onesimus is a slave until much later in the book. But once he says he's a slave, he immediately qualifies it. It's not as a slave any longer. He's not a slave any longer. No longer as a slave, verse 16. As a beloved brother, there's that love theme again. As a beloved brother. Now that is particularly resting because Paul previously two times referred to Philemon as a beloved brother. You're a beloved brother. You're a beloved brother. And then he gets to Onesimus, the one who left you stranded, high and dry, and you couldn't gather your crops like you wanted to, and you're out a ton of money now. He's a beloved brother just like you are. No longer as a slave. More than a slave. As a beloved brother. Paul even tells us twice, I was within my right, I'm within my right to force you to accept him. But I'm going to do it gently. I'm going to lovingly persuade you. There's some beautiful verses in this book. In verse 16, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, as a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. Both in the flesh and in the Lord. That's an interesting statement. A brother in the flesh and in the Lord. He's bound to you in the flesh. Yes, I grant that, but he's bound to you in the Lord Jesus. He's bound to you, perhaps as a slave in the flesh, but he's bound to you as a slave to Jesus, in the Lord Jesus. He's bound to you no longer just as a slave, but as a slave to Jesus Christ. Paul is a slave to Jesus Christ. Onesimus is a slave to Jesus Christ. And Philemon, so are you. So love must characterize the relationships we have with other Christians. Love gently, love is the means by which we seek to reconcile differences. Lastly, love overcomes real, legitimate problems. You know, sometimes our idea is of love is, well, you know, I love that person because it's so easy to love that person. But in this situation, love is actually overcoming real problems, legitimate issues. Onesimus really was in debt to Philemon, and Philemon could hold that over his head. He should pay him back. But Paul, look at what verse 17 says. So if you consider me your partner, receive him as you would receive me. If he has wronged you at all or owes you anything, charge that to my account. Paul is willing to actually take the debt of Onesimus. Think about that for a moment. Just meditate on that thought for a second. You're in jail. The Apostle Paul's in jail. There's another person sitting in jail. You really want to help him work things out. So you brainstorm, how can we make this work? We're going to get you to overcome these things. And really the onus is on who in most people's minds? The onus is on Onesimus. But Paul says, no, Philemon, the onus is on me. I'm actually the one that's indebted to you now. I love him so much, he's my heart. I love him so much that his debt is my debt. I actually owe you for anything he owes you. Paul, because of love, takes on legitimate problems. He takes on legitimate debt. And it isn't an IOU. It's mine, charge it to my account. I'll take it. Verses 17 and 18. If you consider me your partner, receive him as you would receive me. This is a perfect parallel construction here. In other words, you and him is parallel, and me is parallel. There's no difference between him and me. It's beautiful. Paul does everything he can to lovingly reconcile this situation. Now, one of the things I opened with was Colossians, right? This book was written around the same time that the book of Colossians was written, right? I want to look at that further because I think it has bearing on the book itself. In Colossians 4, turn to Colossians 4. Turn left in your Bibles and go flip back a few pages. Colossians 4, verse 3. At the same time, pray also for us that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison. Paul is sitting in prison, just like he is in the book of Philemon. This is a prison epistle. Colossians is a prison epistle. You say, Paul was in prison quite a bit, so is it the same imprisonment? Verse 10 of Colossians says it. Verse 18 of Colossians says it. Philemon references it several times. Now look at what it says in Colossians 4:10. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, greets you, and Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, concerning her whom you have received instructions. If he comes to you, welcome him. Welcome him. And Jesus, who is called Justice. Then look at what it says in Philemon 23. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends greetings to you, and so does Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. You notice anything? It's the same people. They all send the same greeting. Not only that, you say, okay, what are you getting at? Well, just stay with me for a second. In the book of Colossians and in the book of Philemon, Philemon has very few words, correct? It's a very short book, one of the shortest books. 32 of the few words in Philemon are repeated from Colossians. It's the same vocabulary. Paul, in other words, this is during the same time period. Paul was using the same words. Here's my hypothesis. You ready? I believe Paul wrote this the same night as Colossians. I believe he wrote it the same time he wrote the book of Colossians. And I believe that when he sent Philemon with Philemon's letter, he also sent the book of Colossians with him. I believe that Philemon was holding a letter to the Colossians in general and a letter to Philemon, both of which would be in the same city. Philemon 12 says, I'm sending him back to you, sending my very heart. Look what Colossians 4:7 says. Tychicus will tell you all about my activities. He is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and a fellow servant in the Lord. Continuing on, I've sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know that how we are and that he may encourage your hearts. And with him, Onesimus, our faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you. They will tell you of everything that has taken place here. I'm sending you Onesimus as well. Onesimus is being sent with these two letters back to Colossae. In Philemon chapter 1, verse 2, and Apiphia, our sister, and Aricarpus, our fellow soldier, and the church in your house. Aricarpus is mentioned there, but he is also mentioned in 4:17. Did you see it? Of Colossians. And say to Archippus, see that you fulfill the ministry that you have received in the Lord. That is key. I know I'm jumping around, but please focus for a second. Colossians 4:17, Paul writes, and say to Archippus, see that you fulfill the ministry that you have received in the Lord. What ministry? What is he referring to? See that you fulfill the ministry that you have received in the Lord. Archippus. Who is Archippus again? Philemon's son. All right. So they're reading this letter to the Colossian church, and Paul writes to the church, make sure Archippus does what he's been told to do. He knows what I'm talking about. Archippus, if something goes south, you know what you need to do. If something goes south with your dad and you know who, take care of it. Do you see that? I suggest to you that part of the reason Paul wrote the book of Colossians itself was to make sure that Onesimus was received in love by Philemon. The book itself of Colossians was written to the whole church that they're going to make sure that Archippus takes care of that whole situation. He knows what it is. They know what's going on. Make sure. Love really does make sure that things are taken care of. If I were Paul sitting in jail, I might think this. All right, Onesimus, I really think that you're great. You love Jesus. I think this is awesome. I'm going to do what I can to make sure it happens. I'm going to make sure that, you know, I'm even going to write a letter. So I write a letter, I send it on its way, and poof, it's out of my hands. What am I going to do about it now? It's all I can do, buddy. That's not the attitude that Paul gives at all. In fact, he goes the extra mile. I'm going to write in Colossians to make sure that this is taken care of. I'm going to go above and beyond. Any debt, you can put it on me. I want to make sure my heart is taken care of. He takes the whole burden upon himself. He doesn't just write it off and, well, if I can do it, good. If I can't, I'm sorry. There is no I'm sorry in this situation. Love will make sure that things are taken care of. So the question is, did Philemon listen? Did Philemon listen to Paul, do you think? You're sitting here thinking, I think he probably did. I can say with almost certainty, Philemon listened. The very existence of the book today is proof that Philemon listened to Onesimus. You get this personal letter from Paul, and he writes something that you disagree with. What are you going to do with that letter? I don't agree with you, Paul. Psst, psst, psst. We need some heat, let's burn it, or flip it over and erase and write something else. Well, I'm going to write a rebuttal. You're a wealthy person. I'm writing back to him, and Onesimus is back. Okay, if that weren't reason enough to believe that Paul convinced him in love, here's another reason. Onesimus became the pastor in Ephesus. Onesimus became the pastor of one of the largest churches in the early church. A former slave was the head of the Ephesians church. Now, if this were circulating in the early church, we know it was circulating because we still have it. If this were circulating and Onesimus did not make right on his debts and Philemon really wasn't ready to give Onesimus up, do you think he would have been able to rise to the part of a pastor? So we must read this and know Philemon probably blessed him and sent him on his way and in fact sent him back to Paul. You can go serve Paul, please. It's better that you would serve him than serve me. Things are just fine. My goodness. He sends him back to Paul. Paul puts him in charge of Ephesus. This is quite remarkable. Love is the reason why we have the book still. Can you imagine if you were Onesimus and you got to your former house and Philemon opens it up and he reads it and it's laying there on the table and Philemon turns to you and says, I love you, and gives you a hug, and you might think, what did Paul write to you? And he gives you the letter and you think, he wrote that? Who do you think held on to that letter? Wherever Onesimus went, what went with him, do you think? You want to challenge who I am? I'm going to tell you something. Paul, look at what he wrote about me. I was a slave. I was in jail. I have been freed. Philemon allowed the soldier to leave. You don't need to contain him anymore. He's made right. Wow. This would have been a cherished possession for Onesimus. Or perhaps it was a cherished possession by Philemon. Either way, we know this. Paul poured love into the situation. He poured his love into the situation. Now, here's the deal, guys. I don't want you to think, I went to church and learned about love today and fluffy, fluff, fluff, fluff. No, I want to get real about it. I want this church to be a loving church. Here I'm being harsh about it. Let us love. Now, here's the deal. Here's some questions for you. Are there relationships in this body? This is to say nothing of the culture around us. This is to talk about our body here. Are there relationships in the church where love does not characterize the relationship? You might be sitting here thinking, I have no qualms with anyone. No one has qualms with me. That does not mean that your life is characterized by loving relationships. Love means, Dale, there are things about you I don't know and I want to know you. Nate, I gotta get to know you. Jason, I gotta get to know you because I love him. There should be nobody in the church where you're thinking, I've seen that person 30 times and I've never talked to him. No, that's not loving. Loving is, oh my goodness, you're a child of God too. Let's get together. Let's talk about things. Does love characterize the relationships in this church or does something else? Does me characterize the relationship? You know what I'm saying? I dearly want to get to know Chris Vibrock better. And that's the truth. Are there people in this congregation you don't know? You say, I don't know if I'm really part of this church. We're part of the body of Christ. Are there people in other churches that you don't know that love Jesus dearly? Get to know them. We need to build up the body. They are our very heart. Tony Zarowski, you are my heart. Not in a cheese way, but really. Secondly, sometimes we seek non-reconciliation over reconciliation. We think, well, I'd rather just leave things be and let it be there and I won't reconcile. That's not the loving thing to do. You think, yeah, but I'm not rocking the boat if I don't reconcile. I can just leave it be. That is not the loving thing to do. The loving thing to do is pursue. Go out there. What's the problem here? If you know of an issue, seek it out and reconcile. And I got to be honest with you guys. Listen, if you have an issue with somebody else, they may not have an issue with you. And if you're sitting waiting for them to reconcile with you, they may not know there's anything to reconcile. So the onus is on each of us, right? In other words, you may have a black and white picture of the world where there's a problem with me and them, and I know that they have a problem with me and I have a problem with them, when the fact might be that there is no issue with the other person towards you. I know that that's happened in my situation. I'm clueless when it comes to some relationships, and somebody's like, well, you know, you really did this, and it's like, oh man, I wish you'd come earlier because I didn't, that, you know. Do you know what I'm saying? Get out there and reconcile. That's what love does. Love prefers to rock the boat than to leave it be. Thirdly, this one's hard. It's a big one. Are you willing to pay the consequences of someone's pre-Christian days? What do you mean? A person that is walking with Jesus Christ today, are you willing to say, you know what? You screwed up in your pre-Christian days. That's not just on your shoulders. That's on mine. Paul took Onesimus' screw-ups before he was a Christian and put it on his shoulder. Are you kidding me? That's the standard? Boy, you really messed up before you were Christian, but I'm glad you're a Christian now. Let's, you know, no. You screwed up before you were Christian. Let's take care of that together. I don't know to whom I'm speaking for that, but that is out there. I want you to hear it. Are we willing? Is that the kind of love that's characterized in this church? Do you see people who are non-believers and think to yourselves, my goodness, if they were to love Jesus, I would totally die for them. I would help them get out of this problem. That's what the church should be like. Paul takes a valuable piece of paper, spends time writing a letter with his own hand, then writing the book of Colossians, making sure to note in there that he wants to make sure that this situation is taken care of. St. Patrick. Yesterday, St. Patrick's Day. History lesson, you ready? Yay. Patrick was British. He was born in the year 390 or so. 390. He was a non-Christian. When he was 16 years old, he was captured by the crazies from Ireland. Honestly. He was captured by the crazies. I didn't say it. He was torn from his family. 16-year-old boy, and forced into manual labor in Ireland. He was a slave, in the truest sense of the word, slave. Beat and tortured. Patrick was a slave. As a slave, he didn't know what he should do, but he came to Jesus while he was in Ireland. He came to Christ. He knew of Jesus from being in Britain, from being in England. He knew the faith there. He knew his parents must have had a strong faith, because when he got into this slavery situation, he gave his life over to Jesus. No one in Ireland knew who Jesus was, not one person. He gave his life to the Lord, and in a dream, God said, you need to go back home, get out, run. For whatever reason, perhaps somebody was about to kill him, but he did, he escaped. He escaped on a pirate ship. No joke. On a pirate ship, went back to England. He was reunited with his family. where he told them all about what had happened. He had grown. He probably was broken, broken bones, beaten, and his family embraced him. And the most important thing that he told his parents was, "I love Jesus now." He's with his family. He has another dream when he's back home in England. And the dream was, you need to go back to Ireland and tell them about Jesus. You need to go back and tell them about the Lord. So Patrick did. He was the first missionary to Ireland. The shamrock, the three-clover leaf, yeah. He used that to explain the Trinity. That's what that's all about. We know that while he went back as a missionary, it wasn't easy for him. He was beaten regularly. They didn't want to hear the gospel, but he brought it nevertheless. And he died rather an inconspicuous death. Gone, poof, Patrick was gone. He died in Ireland. Nobody really cared. Maybe a few people knew who he was. But there was a core group. He died on March 17th, 461. We celebrate Patrick's death on St. Patrick's Day. Why do you think those few people remembered his death? Why would those people mark that on their calendar and tell their children and then tell their children and tell their children, and all of a sudden we have a holiday that everybody knows of? What was it about Patrick's life that caused people to say, "Oh yeah, there was that guy here, wasn't there?" Nothing other than the love of Jesus Christ, right? Patrick was a slave in Ireland. He was torn from his family, and he goes back there. It incredibly parallels Onesimus in his situation. The slave returns to minister in any way that God wants him. Wow. But for the love of Jesus. And as I think about this love that we see from Paul, we see from Philemon, we see from Onesimus, then as he is now pastor in Ephesus, I think about the love of Jesus. What kind of love that he gave for us. It's a small thing what Paul did compared to what Jesus did, is it not? "I'll pay back the debt," Paul says. Jesus says, "I will die for you." And we so flippantly love him in return sometimes. But I entreat you, I beg you, together, let us be a body of believers that loves like Christ loved. Are we willing to die for each other? Anything that needs reconciliation, pursue it in love, in gentleness. Let's pray. Jesus, we owe our existence to you, and you do not hold that over our heads. But you wait patiently for us to return to you in love. We beg you that you would put your heart in us. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would teach us, make us students of your love. We pray that it would be, that your love would be the thing that characterizes each of us. We ask that you would work, that you would overcome the obstacles that seem too great. We praise you, Jesus, for what you did and what you're doing in us. We ask that you would transform us, please, Jesus. We cannot do this without you. Give us new life today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.